Baghdad and Yemen's Sa'adah mark the first anniversary of the U.S.'s assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas. The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says General Soleimani and Mohandas were assassinated because they spearheaded the campaign against U.S. hegemony. The British Prime Minister says tougher lockdown restrictions are probably on the way, as COVID-19 cases in Britain are at record levels. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Leader of the Lebanese Resistance, Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, talked about commemorating the first anniversary of the assassination of General Soleimani and his companions. Also started off giving his condolences to the demise of Ayatollah Mismah Yazdi. He also reiterated the support that Iran has given Lebanon since 1982. He said, even when Iran was in the middle of its eight-year war with Saddam Hussein, Iraq, Imam Khomeini sent top generals there and also troops to help the Lebanese free themselves from Israeli occupation. He says it's the Islamic Republic of Iran which has been steadfast and supported Lebanon and the resistance in Palestine from the very beginning, not these entities that try to show that they support them and actually go against them. He said some of those Arab regimes actually wanted to see Hezbollah defeated in 2006, whereas Iran stood firm with them, and also talked about General Qasem Soleimani, who was there with them. And he says that the Iranians have been there from the beginning, from the 1980s, and have died with them, have stood with them, have given them weapons, have given them missiles, because of the resistance, not because of its own interests. He said Iran never demanded anything in return. He said with the assassination of General Soleimani, the Americans have taken things to a different level. The region, leaders in the region, real leaders in the region, as far as the resistance, demanding that they exit from this region. He said they have killed this global hero, this hero who stood against oppression, this hero who stood with the oppressed all over, whether we're talking about Palestine or we're talking about Venezuela. That's what he stood for, and that's what the resistance stands for. And he said that Daesh, of course, was a creation of the U.S. itself. They wanted to destroy the resistance, and they failed. And he ended by saying that though they think that they have increased sanctions against Hezbollah and others and a blockade, they must know that people who believe in God never are limited to that, and have no fear because they know what they're doing is right and they will continue to strive. That has been a short conclusion, actually, from his speech. Well, people in several countries have marked the first anniversary of the U.S.'s assassination of top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas. Iraqis filled the streets of the capital Baghdad to mourn the martyrdom of the two anti-terror commanders. They called for the expulsion of U.S. forces from Iraq. The head of the Badr organization, Hadi al-Amiri, addressed the crowd. He said the Iraqi people are the rightful owners of their country, not the United States. Amiri also stressed the necessity to avenge the killing of Soleimani and Mohandas. In Yemen, people took to the streets of the northern city of Sa'adah, demanding those behind the assassination be brought to justice. Similar rallies were also taking place in other countries, including in India and Canada. The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says the U.S. assassinated anti-terror commanders Soleimani and Mohandas because they spearheaded the campaign against U.S. hegemony.
Hajj, the great general Hajj Qasem Soleimani, peace be upon him, the great fighter also, Abu Mahdi Mohandas, they were killed by the Americans as two main commanders of this nation, as sons of this nation, as free men of this nation, in this battle, this united battle of this nation.
Abdul Malik al-Houthi was speaking on the first anniversary of the assassination of General Soleimani and Mohandas. He also spoke about the Saudi-led aggression against Yemen. Al-Houthi said the kingdom is fighting U.S. and Israeli wars. He also lashed out at Arab countries that have normalized relations with Israel. Al-Houthi said the ruling elite in the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, Morocco, and Saudi Arabia represent the axis of treachery in the Muslim nation. The Ansarullah leader said the U.S. and Israel seek to fuel the flames of sectarian strife among Muslim nations and to mobilize Takfiri terrorists. Meanwhile, continuing with this news this hour, the Palestinian-Iranian Friendship Association has held a ceremony in Syria's capital, Damascus, to pay tribute to Iran's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was assassinated by the U.S. in Iraq 1 year ago. Our correspondent, Muhammad Ali, brings us more.
A ceremony attended by Syrians, Palestinians, Iranians, and Yemenis was held in Damascus to mark the first martyrdom anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's ambassador to Syria asserted that the resistance front will continue to fight back against any aggression, reiterating the assassination was a sign of the weakness of the United States.
By firing the missile on General Soleimani, the U.S. targeted the Iranian people, their power, and pride. The U.S. wanted to thwart the resistance front's plans, but they failed. They have no choice but to leave the region.
Delegates from Syria's Ba'ath Arab Socialist Party and Yemen also delivered words on General Soleimani and his achievements in leading resistance fighters against the Western plots in the region. Vice Secretary General of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine said General Soleimani told him the only path to liberate Palestine was armed struggle and national unity between Palestinians.
General Soleimani urged us to depend on ourselves instead of others. Thanks to his efforts and advices, today we make weapons and the Palestinian resistance is currently in constant development.
Photos of General Soleimani were also exhibited, showing moments of his missions across Syria and Iraq. For years, General Soleimani led Iranian military advisors in Syria at Syria's request and played a key role in defeating Daesh terrorists, as well as restoring security to hundreds of square kilometers across the Arab country. For over a week, Syrians, Iranians, and Palestinians have commemorated General Soleimani's martyrdom. And as observers say, contrary to the U.S. and its regional allies' will, General Soleimani's assassination has further strengthened unity among all members of the resistance front. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
Iran's foreign minister says the Daesh terror group has been the only beneficiary of the U.S.'s assassination of General Qasem Soleimani. Mohammad Javad Zarif made the comment on his Twitter page. He said Daesh has increased its activity since the top Iranian general was killed by the U.S. last January. Zarif said Soleimani was the main enemy of the extremist terrorists. He said the top general was cowardly assassinated by what he called the terrorists in chief.
Iran is following up on the legal proceedings to prosecute those complicit in General Soleimani's assassination. This comment was made by Iran's Revolution Guards Corps on the anniversary of Soleimani's assassination by the U.S. The spokesman of the IRGC said, so far, Iran has identified 48 people in connection with the assassination of General Soleimani. U.S. President Donald Trump is on top of the list.
Iran and Iraq's judiciaries are seriously following up on the legal proceedings to bring the perpetrators to justice. But with regards to those who ordered and executed the assassination of our general, will take a military action.
While the U.S. calls Soleimani's assassination a big win, regional countries do not share the same view. General Soleimani's role as the spearhead of the fight against terrorism is now well recognized in the region and beyond. Observers say his assassination reveals the fact that the U.S. is seeking to re-embolden the terrorists. However, Iranian officials say his assassination is not the end of his path of resistance.
Soleimani introduced an ideology of resistance against any form of oppression. He is no longer among us, but his legacy is alive and is passed on to thousands of his followers who will continue to fight the terrorists and their foreign supporters.
Starting on the anniversary of Soleimani's assassination, commemoration ceremonies like this will continue for 6 days across Iran to keep the memory of the Iranian anti-terror commander alive.
Not only to Iranians, but to the entire region, General Soleimani is viewed as the guarantor of peace and security. That explains why his assassination is not considered a win, but an irreversible loss for Washington, which is now debating withdrawal from the Iraqi soil after repeated missteps. Yusuf Jalali, Kerman.
Iran's top security official has urged the U.S. to lift its anti-Iran sanctions to rescind its policy of maximum pressure against Tehran. The Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council described as a failed strategy the pressure campaign launched by President Donald Trump. Ali Shamkhani said the full and definite removal of all sanctions is the only option for Washington to rescind that strategy. Shamkhani stressed that U.S. efforts to magnify its return to the Iran nuclear deal will produce no results. Trump launched its pressure campaign against Iran in 2018 after he withdrew the U.S. from the nuclear deal. The campaign has resulted in numerous rounds of sanctions against Iran. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden has said he will return to the deal. The world is anxiously watching every movement in the Persian Gulf as tensions simmer between Iran and the United States. Concerns about a potential conflict have been growing as Iran marks the first anniversary of the U.S.'s assassination of its top general, Qasem Soleimani.
Tensions between Iran and the United States have mounted in recent days ahead of the assassination anniversary of the Iranian top general Qasem Soleimani. But the two sides were at loggerheads for quite some time. In December, the U.S. President Donald Trump accused Iran of playing a role in a series of rocket attacks that targeted the U.S. embassy in the Iraqi capital Baghdad, threatening retaliation. During his 4 years in office, Trump has time and again signaled intentions to launch an attack on Iran. Just last November, after being heavily defeated in the presidential election, Trump was reportedly asking senior advisors about potential options for attacking Iran's main nuclear site. A range of senior advisors dissuaded the outgoing president from moving ahead with a military strike. They warned that a strike against Iran's facilities could easily escalate into a broader conflict in the last weeks of Trump's presidency. Analysts say that Trump could trigger a conflict with Iran to distract from his failing attempts to overturn his election loss and to complicate his successor's plans for the region. They say the U.S. president could be thinking about saddling President-elect Biden with some kind of military operation on his way out the door. Even Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, has said that Trump is creating a pretext for war. All this is playing out as Biden prepares to enact his own policies after his January 20 inauguration. Biden, on many occasions, has said that he wants to ease Trump's so-called maximum pressure campaign against Tehran and return to the Iran nuclear deal. These are all the steps that hawks in the Trump administration vehemently oppose.
Tensions between Iran and the U.S. have reached a boiling point with the first-year anniversary of the assassination of Iran's Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. The Iranian foreign minister days ago warned that there is intelligence information coming from Iraq that the U.S. may launch an attack against Iran. And on Saturday, the Foreign Minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, posted a tweet. He urged U.S. President Donald Trump not to be, quote, trapped by an alleged Israeli plan to provoke a war through attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. Now, there have been reports that Israel and Saudi Arabia are pressuring Trump into attacking Iran before he leaves office on January the 20th. Iran has warned the U.S. that it is not up to war, but will retaliate strongly in case of any military action against it. Iran's top commander, Hossein Salami, has said his country is fully prepared to respond to any U.S. military attack.
Over the past couple of weeks, the U.S. military has beefed up its presence in the region. In mid-December, a U.S. Navy-guided missile submarine made an unusual transit of the Strait of Hormuz, the strategic waterway between Iran and the Arabian Peninsula. Earlier in December, a pair of B-52 bombers from Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana flew what the military called a presence mission over the Persian Gulf. That flight was repeated a week later, with two B-52s flying nonstop from North Dakota and heading home after cruising over the western side of the Persian Gulf. The Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Ali Shamkhani, noted that the U.S. increased military presence in West Asia stems from Washington's fear of the consequences of its past acts of mischief in this region. The IRGC commander, Major General Hossein Salami, also vowed harsh retaliation against any aggression targeting the country.
We will respond to any move by the enemy with a harder and reciprocally more resolute blow. This has been proven time and time again. We say the same thing today. We will not spare the enemy and will not leave it alone.
Last week, Iran issued a stern warning to the UN Security Council about the U.S.'s recent provocative moves in the region. In a letter to the Council, Iran's permanent mission to the UN raised the alarm over what it called U.S. warmongering tendencies, adding that Washington must bear the full responsibility of the consequences. The letter also echoed Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif's remarks, who said that Iran does not seek war, but will openly and directly defend its people, security, and vital interests.
The Saudi-led coalition continues its violation of international humanitarian law against Yemeni prisoners. In 2020, more than 20 of these prisoners have lost their lives under torture. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdulatif Awashali, reports.
New crimes are added to the Saudi-led coalition's record violations of international law following the death of 22 Yemeni prisoners and the coalition's prisons in 2020, all due to torture and medical neglect.
Torture has become a regular thing for the Saudi coalition, and unfortunately, these crimes are being frequent and vary from year to year. This year, 22 prisoners were killed either under torture or medical and food neglect. So we believe that there is an intention to get rid of the prisoners.
The head of Yemen's National Committee for Prisoners Affairs confirms that the UAE keeps hundreds of prisoners in its presence in southern Yemen, despite its refusal to attend any negotiations, while the United Nations has promised to attend amid the humanitarian nature of the prisoners' issue.
The Emiratis are an essential part of this aggression, and they are on the ground and they have dozens of prisons in the lands they occupied here and in the Horn of Africa. We have asked the United Nations to bring the Emiratis for negotiations, but so far there is no response from them and we're still waiting.
2020 witnessed remarkable progress in the liberation of 1,087 prisoners of the Yemeni army and the popular committees, 670 of whom were freed through UN mediation and the rest through local exchange deals.
The Saudi coalition's violations of international humanitarian laws are not only against the prisoners, but against the entire people of Yemen, who are the victims of an ongoing war on their country. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana.
The British premier said his country will go ahead with his COVID vaccination program. Daily infections have rapidly increased in Britain after new COVID strains surfaced there last month. Officials say the variant spreads far more quickly. On Saturday, Britain registered more than 57,000 new cases. Now, that was the fifth day in a row that new infections topped 50,000. And with that, that brings us to the end of this World News Edition. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 3rd, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And congratulations to our Christian listeners on the occasion of the New Year 2021. May peace prevails all over the earth and the coronavirus leaves the earth as soon as possible. Amen. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. We are with you with so many letters and emails from around the world.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers in our radio. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report normally will be receiving a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. However, these days, unfortunately, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. But as soon as the virus is controlled around the world and the protocols, the health and hygienic protocols are removed, we will be back on track and send you QSL cards and the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rafan Ahmad from India, Salvatore Righi from Italy, and Ivan A. Zeleny from Russia. Rafan, Salvatore, and Ivan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters, most of them congratulating the Christian New Year 2021 and Christmas, which I mentioned some of their names here, including Chris Malbo from Canada, one of our regular listeners, also Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, also one of our regular listeners, have sent us emails. And we have an email from Jyrki Hitonen from Finland, has sent us an email. Krister Brunstorm from Sweden, and Robens Fraz Pedroso from Brazil. All of them, our regular listeners, have sent us emails. Thank you all. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. During the program, I will read these kind messages just after the music. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and actually this is the first edition of Listeners Special in 2021. The first letter, actually the first email, is from Chris Malbouf from Canada. Chris Malbouf is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello and greetings from British Columbia, Canada. It's been quite some time since we've spoken, and I would like to share some of my Christmas childhood memories. When I was growing up, I used to have Christmas dinner with my great-grandmother, who has passed on for 10 years, and I would open the presents. Last night, I had turkey for dinner, and my guess is that you don't eat turkey in Iran as the New Year dinner, do you? I'm not sure what will be my New Year's plan with COVID-19, but I will think of something. I hope to tune in to your session soon and send in my thoughts. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Chris Malbo from Canada, British Columbia. And many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Also, many thanks for sharing your Christmas experience to us and our dear listeners around the world. Of course, as you said, childhood memories are the best memories of one's life, and it was nice. You said you used to have your Christmas dinner with your great-grandmother. That's great. And also open your presents. That's great. And it seems that you had turkey for dinner. It's nice. I love it. Turkey is one of my favorite dish, but as you said, in Iran, people don't have turkey for the New Year. In Iran, we celebrate our New Year, actually, Iranian Muslims. The majority of Iran consists of Muslims who celebrate Nowruz as the New Year and have different kinds of dishes like reshta polo as the main dish of the New Year, which starts in the spring, as you may know it. But Iranians eat turkey in different occasions. It's not a special kind of meal in Iran, but people normally eat it in Iran. Anyway, thank you. Thanks a lot. We wish you a very happy New Year 2021 with peace, joy, love, and everything you desire. Thank you again. Write to us soon, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Also from India, we have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I take this opportunity to wish all members at IRIB and their families a very happy and merry Christmas. May the coming year 2021 be full of happiness and promises, leaving behind all the dark patches of 2020. I'm sure the new year will bring a new listening experience from IRIB English Radio. Stay safe, stay healthy. Salam and greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India." We do express our appreciation for this congratulation message, and also we wish you and all our dear listeners around the world, our Christian listeners, of course, a very happy New Year 2021. But as you may know, most of Iranian population consists of Muslims, and we celebrate our New Year in spring, and Nowruz is the start of the New Year we celebrate in the spring. Thanks a lot. But we have minorities in our country. We have Armenian minorities and Ashuri minorities which celebrate the New Year 2021. And we wish them and also our Christian friends around the world a very happy 2021 year. Anyway, Jayanta Chakrabarty, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned, please. As I'm watching, you know, there are lots of emails and letters congratulating the 2021 New Year. And here we have an email from Rubens Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil, who says, "Thank you so much for the Christmas message. I wish an excellent 2021 for all the people around the world, especially when we all are grappling with the coronavirus pandemic. Stay safe and well." Rubens Fras Pedroso from Brazil, greetings to you, and thank you for this congratulation message. We also wish you a very happy 2021, and also we wish all our listeners around the world a very happy 2021 with peace, joy, and love. And our prayer is always this, getting rid of coronavirus pandemic, as you said. You also, Rubens Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil, stay safe and healthy. Write to us soon, Rubens Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil. And from Sweden, we have an email from one of our regular listeners. This email is from Christer Brandstorm. Christer Brandstorm says, "Dear radio friends, we most certainly celebrate Christmas and New Year in very much a different way as we stay at home and avoid contacts with other people. But apart from that, we try to celebrate, as we always do, with good food, presents, and long walks. For the new year, we obviously hope that the new vaccines will put an end to this dreadful disease. So there are many hopes for a better 2021. Kind regards." Salam and greetings to you, Christer Brandstorm from Sweden. And thanks a lot for writing to us in IRB English Radio. We wish you a very happy New Year 2021. And thank you for writing this congratulation message. As I have said several times, we have, at this time, at this moment, we have only one prayer, to get rid of coronavirus, as you said. Thanks a lot, and write to us soon. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other congratulation messages from around the world. Stay tuned, please. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Finland. This email is from Jyrki Hitonen. Jyrki Hitonen says, nice to hear from you and from Iran. This year has been a different one, a difficult year. So we do hope the new year will be a better one. This year was marked by COVID-19. That was a pandemic. We have been living in a quiet life this year. Christmas was this year a different one. Fortunately, we were able to see most of the children who live nearby by staying outside and walking with them. For the first time, Santa Claus did not visit their house. Children were a little disappointed that Santa did not come in person but had left presents at the door outside the house. Also, New Year will be a different one. Normally, me and my wife, Ayla, celebrate New Year with friends, have late dinner, and later in the evening, close to midnight, go out to see the fireworks show in the town. This year, there will be no friends, no fireworks show, no public gatherings. So we will probably go to have a bonfire in the forest and make sausage in the bonfire and have some coffee. May some friends can come to visit us outside. This year has shown us that friends and other people are important. Also, this pandemic has shown us once again that all people in the world are in the same boat. We have to take care of each other and take common measures that is against global warming. I wish that all are well and safe. The new year has come, and we wait for Nowruz and hope things will get better till then. Happy New Year to all those who celebrate. And thank you a lot, Jyrki Hitonen, for writing such a nice email to us. We wish you in Finland, and we wish for you and your family a very happy 2021, a very nice new year. And thank you for waiting for Nowruz that is being celebrated in Iran and some other Asian countries. Thanks a lot for writing to us. We wish you a very happy New Year 2021. Write to us soon. And I have to rush because the time tells me we have to skip to this week's section of interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Let's take a listen.
Yes, I'm from the UK, and I'm interested in radio and radio broadcast, and I have an interest in journalism as well as history and current affairs. Well, I enjoy activities like reading and traveling and music. These are my interests. I think they were very good, very professionally made. And I think for me, I think I learned a lot about my own country and my own society and politics in the West, which didn't allow me to learn anything about because it was so filtered and so controlled, and there was so much disinformation on the news media. You never really knew the truth. But RIB told me things, you know that were happening and why they happened in the USA and in the UK and in Western politics in general. So I think it's a valuable having an alternative view, which is a bit more creative and not so much censored by the corporations. Well, all I can say is keep enjoying listening to RIB, you know, because there's not many stations that give you such a wide, varied reporting service in terms of what is actually really happening in the world today in terms of politics, because all the Western media is controlled and filtered and sanitized and manipulated, you know, for their own ends, you know. So they don't want you to know the truth. But I think if you listen to RIB, you know, you start learning why things happen, and who's behind the news and all the different machinations of politics. So I think it's important, you know, so you can learn about politics and about culture.
Well, dear listeners, here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a very important question, and that question is this. We see that in the Holy Quran, God Almighty says that He is the creator of all beings. At the same time, the Quran says that God is the Lord of all beings. In fact, in many verses of the Holy Quran, God has stated his lordship after he mentions his property of being the creator. So there's a fundamental connection between these two attributes of God. This is also the sole and very important point of difference between the Quranic message and the beliefs of the pagan Arabs who existed at the time of the genesis of Islam. So the question we want to pose today is this: what exactly is the relationship between these two? And why is it that it's necessary for God to be the Lord of all things and the sole overseer of the affairs of the universe? And why is it that the beliefs of the pagan Arabs was incorrect? Why is it impossible for somebody other than the creator of the universe to be the Lord of the universe? It's possible for somebody to say this. For example, when you ask a parent, how do you regulate or oversee the affairs of your child? The parent would say, well, I go to the store, I buy food for it, I buy clothes for it, I have bought a house for it, a place for it to stay. And in this way, I take care of my child. I oversee its affairs. I'm making sure that it's growing up to be a perfect child and it has everything it needs. When we examine this, we see that the parent who oversees the affairs of the child, he doesn't create the food, he doesn't create the clothes, he doesn't make the clothes. He simply goes to the store, puts the money on the table, buys the clothes for the child, comes over and hands it to him. He goes to the store, he puts the money on, gives the money to the shop owner, he buys the food, it comes to the child and gives him the food. Why can't we say that something like this happens in the case of God? God created everything, right? But there might be a series of other beings, demigods, beings that are lower than him, who oversee the affairs of the universe and bring these things and place these things that God has created in the disposal of these beings who need them. Why can't we say that? The answer to this question is that while it's true that these beings can do this, this doesn't necessarily mean that they are the ultimate and essentially the Lord of these beings and oversee their affairs. Well, the fundamental difference between us and these polytheists and the Quranic message and the beliefs of these polytheists was this, that they said that these demigods were essentially the overseers of the affairs of the universe. And this is what makes this belief incorrect. Although we don't want to deny the fact that other beings have the ability to secondarily and accidentally and with the permission of God perform these tasks that these beings need in order to be guided and to be nourished and to reach the perfection that ultimately was destined for them. However, the idea that God has created these things and that these beings need in order to be guided to the perfection destined to them essentially affirms the fact that He is the ultimate Lord of the universe and that there is no Lord besides Him. This shows us the fundamental connection between the two. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were examining the reason behind the unity of God's Lordship and the connection between God's Lordship and creation and the fundamental difference between the beliefs of the pagan Arabs and the Quranic message. Thank you for joining us on The Key. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kHz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is part of a speech of Ayatollah Khamenei delivered on January 8, 2020, in a meeting with the people of the city of Qom. The meeting was held on the anniversary of an uprising led by the people of the city of Qom on January 9, 1978.
Shahid Soleimani, his martyrdom showed the whole world that the revolution is alive in our country. Some people wanted to pretend that the revolution is over and that it is dead. Of course, some people are still trying to make this happen. However, his martyrdom showed that the revolution is alive. You saw what happened in Tehran and in other cities. Of course, I am deeply sorry for and touched by the bitter incident that occurred in Kerman, as a result of which some of our dear compatriots from Kerman lost their lives, and I wish to express my condolences to their families. I hope that the pure souls of the deceased will be raised with Shahid Soleimani. With his martyrdom, Shahid Soleimani cleansed dust-covered eyes. The enemies felt humble in the face of the greatness of the Iranian nation. Of course, they may not show it, but they have no other option.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want or need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger.
Hey, Rabbun Azim, Laysa li Rabbun
The enemies who were trying to describe that grand mujahid and that sardar and commander of fighting against terrorism as a terrorist, in other words, the unfair and untruthful Americans who rave and rant all the time and whose words are actually worthless, had such intentions in mind. But the Iranian nation slapped them across the face. An important and noteworthy point concerns our responsibility in the present time. After all, an important incident has occurred. Revenge and other such matters are a separate issue. Of course, they received a slap in the face last night, but this is different. Regarding confrontation, what is important is that the presence of the U.S. in the region, which leads to corruption, will come to an end, and such military moves do not suffice. They have started wars in this region. They have brought about discord, sedition, and destruction.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.